Rich Lankoff is with us. He's, of course, attorney, host of Legal Face Off on WGNRadio.com. And thanks for coming on, Rich, by the way. I appreciate it. What's the legal aspect of this?
The legal aspect of Philly's Karen, right? Numos hated person in sports. You know, we tape our podcast this week, and we're always looking at the legal angle, of course, and got to thinking about who would own that ball. The law actually has addressed this.
Really?
When Barry Bonds hit his 73rd, which is the single season Major League Baseball home run record, it turns out that one guy actually caught it, and then it bounced off him and ended up in the hands of another fan. And because that arguably is still the most, you know, it's in the top five of the most valuable baseballs in history, it was subject to a lawsuit. And the judge ruled, as you could imagine, that basically whoever possesses the ball owns it. I mean, pretty straightforward.
Right.
Unless there is some evidence that, you know, someone took it or someone stole it off the person. Aside from that, taking a look at the Phillies Karen case, basically whoever ends up with the ball owns it.
Right.
In that case, you know, it would have been, but for her tirade, it would have been the father who had unquestionable legal right to the ball because he ended up, you know, possessing it. But of course, he gave it to her, as we all saw.
And there's nothing really significant about this particular home run. You know what I mean?
Correct.
It's not some iconic player reaching some sort of plateau. So there's no real, attached value to the ball other than it's, you know, you get to catch a ball at a ball game, and that's pretty cool. And but then this ends up on social media and TV news, and I don't remember recently, at any rate, anything, I'm going to say insignificant to a certain extent. I mean, nobody was injured, so to speak. No one came to blows. But it's like, don't take a ball away from a kid no matter what. And she did. And does she have, you know, I've lost track. Who's got the ball now?
I think she has a ball. I mean, she's yet to be identified, you know, as of early this afternoon. It's shockingly, because, you know, these people are always sleuthed out by the internet. She's still been, has not been identified. So I think she still has the ball in her possession. Of course, we all saw, you know, the nice gesture by Harrison Bader. The Philly gave him a bat afterwards.
Yeah,
and Marlins gave him a package. But yeah, I think she still owns the ball. But I think you're right. It's probably the most valuable, non-valuable ball in baseball history.
Yeah. No attached value whatsoever. And another example of how you can't do anything, good or bad, without someone somewhere within the vicinity having their quote-unquote phone slash camera slash video out. And recording it and putting it on the internet and social media. You just can't escape it.
Not only that, but when you're at a game, like, listen, there was the Kiss Cam people on the big screen on the Jumbotron. Philly's Karen. Here's the lesson to your listeners. Don't do dumb stuff at any place where there's a Jumbotron. Anytime there's a massive screen, don't do anything dumb.
So, the Kiss couple, I guess the legal ramifications of that would be they would get divorced from their respective spouses. Other than that, they didn't have any recourse to, I don't know what I'm getting at, sue the people who had the camera or something like that, because I guess going in there is sort of a tacit understanding that, you know, I'm here and yeah, I might be on camera sometime. I haven't heard about them in a while. Do you know anything that's going on with them lately?
Well, you nailed the issue. I mean, when they were first caught and the CEO released a statement that's next day, he actually, at the end of his statement, even though the beginning he admitted that he was wrong and he was embarrassed, he did reference invasion of privacy. And it seemed like he was threatening a lawsuit against either the arena, Coldplay, security, whatever, even the person who took the video. And then he quickly got some legal advice, I'm sure, which, to your point, would have been, no, dummy. I mean, you have no right to privacy when you enter that arena and when you do stupid stuff on the Jumbotron. So he gave up his right to privacy when he walked in that arena. So, yeah, I think they're arguably, we cover this a lot, arguably there's some exposure there, but, you know, he was smart enough not to pursue that.
And let's not forget the relationship that the relationship that was exposed with this particular incident. I mean, they were having an affair and went to the ball game, and maybe that's another lesson. If you're having an affair, don't go to a ball game. I don't know.
Well, and you know, you're joking, but you know, perhaps, I mean, listen, Coldplay said either they're having an affair or whatever he said. That could be considered, you know, defamation. That could be considered.
Okay.
But to your point, it was true. You know what the ultimate defense always to defamation or slander or libel is the truth. So if it's true, then there's no damages. Therefore, they can't successfully pursue anything like that.
We've got trademarks standing by when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN with John Landecker, Rich Lenkoff, attorney Rich Lenkoff, capital member Donnie and Lenkoff, co-host of Legal Face-Offs on WGNRadio.com. And we are now approaching a whole bevy of attempted trademark applications. In this particular case by Bill Belichick. But did you heard about his girlfriend, yes?
Absolutely. She's actually the one who filed these trademark applications.
Okay.
No,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. She's, the brains behind the new Belichick Incorporated.
Yeah, and filing a trademark for Gold Digger. I mean, okay, somebody's got a little chutzpah going on. So four trademark applications by Bill Belichick were refused. First of all, what kind of trademark application would Bill Belichick want?
Well, he applied, and more specifically, his girlfriend, business partner, manager, Jordan Hudson, has applied for four phrases that are actually currently owned by his former employer, the Patriots. These are phrases like do your job, ignore the noise, no days off. So the Patriots already own the trademark to these phrases. What Jordan Hudson did is ask the trademark office to recognize these phrases, but with the words Bill's version at the end as trademarks. Now, this is undoubtedly inspired by the very successful Taylor Swift.
You bet.
You know, reworking her songs and calling it Taylor's version strategies. Guess what? The office found that to be, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office found that unpersuasive.
No kidding. I mean, imagine, I'm trying to think of an example of it while I'm talking about it. Just tacking on the phrase, your version, right? I mean, to anything that's already an existing product.
Loving it. Yeah. John's version. Food, folks, and fun. John's version.
Exactly.
Just add your version to anything.
Indeed. Yeah. What a world it would be. So I didn't realize, well, first of all, I didn't realize that there were that many phrases that were copywritten by the Patriots themselves. You know, I don't, maybe it's just me not paying attention, but as I understand it from this article, do your job, ignore the noise. The Bellustrator, and no days off. No, somebody has a copyright on the expression "no days off."
Amazing, isn't it? I mean, how you know, generally, a trademark like that would only apply to the, you know, commercial interpretation of that as it relates to football. So it would generally be narrowly, you know, narrowly strewn so that you're using no days off only to sell football product with Patriots logo. So it's not as general as you might think, but you know, yeah, I mean, there's a pretty widely used phrase, that the Patriots own again, as it relates to marketing that phrase for football products,
but only football products. Right,
football related products.
Is that the narrow lane that this is in? I mean, if this wasn't Bill Belichick and this didn't have something to do with his girlfriend and there was no prior relationship at all, would there still be a problem? Could they still say you can't have the rights to no days off? Just.
Well, put it this way. I mean, if you're using no days off on a T-shirt in Portland right. to sell, I don't know, you know, skateboards, I think you're probably fine. But you know, if you're trying to sell football gear T-shirts with that phrase, then I think the Patriots would have a good cause of action there. But certainly, what they ruled in this case was that there's a high likelihood of consumer confusion if you simply slap on Bill's version to the existing phrase used by the Patriots.
Wow. And Jordan Hudson, I believe her name is, the girlfriend actually thought that this would fly, that this would work, just Bill's version slapped onto already existing products that had a relationship with the Patriots? I mean...
Yeah, that's, and as you mentioned, she tried to trademark the word Bellacast, like the, you know, Belichick podcast,
right.
And also the term gold digger.
right. Did she get the gold digger one or no? You know?
That's still pending. That was just applied for, but, you know, the shoe fits, I guess.
That's one way of putting it. I remember when, this is a while ago now. The Bulls did a three-peat, if memory's correct.
Yes.
But the term was copywritten by, Pat Riley.
Pat Riley, right.
Yeah, which I thought was, wow, that's something else. I mean, it wasn't his team that had the three-peat. It was the Bulls, but I guess it was a good move on his part. Because three-peat's not exactly something that is commonly said between people. Hey, how's your three-peat? You know, oh, my three-peat's fine. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not an everyday linguistic occurrence. And the idea that he would own it, I thought was, well, actually sort of brilliant on his part, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the early examples of this happening. He applied for it, I think it was in 1989, and it covered all sorts of merchandise with that term. And it turns out that, you know, the Bulls, the Heat, the Lakers, any team that had either aspirations for, that were going for three-peats, they actually had to license the term from Pat Riley. So he's probably made more money through that trademark than he did in his coaching career.
Yeah, because the trademark never wears out, does it? I mean, it's continuously infinity and beyond, so to speak, for a trademark. Like
it does expire, but currently that one is still, I think that one is still alive. By the way, you know, just remember, your listeners should remember to your earlier point, you know, it's not like if you use the term three-peat now, Pat Riley could sue you for using it. The key is that, like I mentioned earlier, if you use it for commercial uses, you know, T-shirts or whatever, posters, I mean, whatever you use it for, that's what the license is for. But you could say the word without, you know, fear of being sued.
Well, it's a wild and wacky world of legality, and that's why we have you, Rich. Thanks for coming on tonight and discussing these rather bizarre legal ramifications. And I guess this has been your version tonight, Rich. This is Rich Lankoff, your version, I'm calling it. Thanks for being with us.
It's kind of a love story, my version. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Legal Face Off on WGNRadio.com.